Okay, thank you, everybody. So our next session is from Mayan Rivas, the Manager of Health Promotions Operations at Vic Health, who will be talking about the Vic Health Indicator Survey on Disability. So welcome, Mayan.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you for the opportunity to come and present today. My name's Maya Rivas, as Melissa said. I'm the Manager of Health Promotion Operations at Vic Health. And the reason I'm here to talk with you is that health equity comes under my remit, as does the Vic Health Indicators Survey, which this is part of. But I will start by saying I'm relatively new to my role, so even though these come under my remit, I might sound a bit scratchy as I get my head around what they exactly are. I'm just going to walk to and from to change the slides as we go. So just to start off, a little bit about Vic Health. We're a health promotion agency. We've been around since 1987, so just over 30 years. We originally, and we still are actually, our mandate for being is in the Tobacco Act. So we originally started out 30-something years ago buying out tobacco sponsorships. So we've come a long way from then. Even though smoking rates have declined a long way, there's still a long way to go. But we work across a whole lot of different areas. So we work across five, we call them five imperative areas, but they're essentially five focus areas. So we look at physical activity, mental well-being, alcohol, tobacco, and mental well-being. But we also have what we call cross-imperative strategies. So they're the things that work across all of those. And health equity is one of those. We do a lot of research, and we do work in the arts. We've been doing work in the arts since we were established as an organisation. And in fact, we bought out tobacco sponsorship in arts, which seems like amazing that that was ever the case, that you could smoke and be part of the arts. Health equity is a big part of what we do, and we say it is at the heart of what we do. And we know that the biggest factor that influences somebody's health is actually the social determinants of health. So someone's individual choices as to what they do play very little in terms of the impact on their health. So our health equity strategy and our FAIR Foundations framework is what we work by, has a huge focus on the social determinants of health. So we say as an organisation, and it's up there in the second dot point, so we want good health and well-being for everyone, regardless of cultural background, gender, sexual orientation, disability or ability, income and location of where they live. But we know this isn't the case. So our vision, ideally, is what we're aiming for, is that everybody is equal in terms of their health outcomes. Okay, so the reason I'm here to talk to you today is about some of the results that we got from our last Vic Health Indicator Survey, which is in 2015. Now, this survey is a population health survey, so we interviewed via telephone about 20,000 Victorians, and the main reason was to get a sense of what they were doing in terms of their health, their attitudes around health and behaviours around health. And specifically why I'm here today is because we asked one question around disability, and it was hard to decide what question we were going to ask, but it's the one here, and that is, we asked whether the respondents had a disability, health condition or injury that has lasted or is likely to last 6 months or more, which restricts their everyday activities. Now, when we were working through what question we would ask, we did look at what other questions are asked across other population health surveys. And the ABS, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, has essentially a scale. Because when you do these population, we call them CADI surveys, the telephone surveys, you can only ask so many questions, because if you ask too many questions, people just hang up in the end. So the number of questions we ask is really restricted. And in a lot of our work, whether it be in mental wellbeing, physical activity, whatever it is, we're trying to condense down and just ask single item questions. So there are limitations to that, and I'll talk about that soon. Okay, so in terms of just the overall result, just a really high level, so one in three people that we surveyed responded yes to that question. So they viewed themselves as having a disability or injury that actually impacted their life in the last 6 months. Now, that is different to what the national survey showed, and that showed one in five had a disability. But the difference there is we're just using different questions. Okay. Okay, so those with a disability were more likely to be older, born in Australia, declare that they're Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander, report less income, lower education, and more unemployment, and were more likely to live in rural Victoria. Now, this doesn't mean that they're, it just means more likely. It doesn't mean everybody that fits those categories has a disability. So what I've done in the next few slides is just broken it into those imperative areas that we work across. Don't do a hamstring running for it. So I've just broken it down into our imperative areas. So just looking at mental well-being, physical activity, healthy eating, and alcohol. So for those people that reported having a disability, only half were as likely to feel safe when they were walking at night. 25% less likely to feel positive about their local neighbourhood. And the reason we ask these questions is actually really important for people's mental well-being to feel connected to their neighbourhood and to feel safe walking at night. Scored lower in satisfaction of life as a whole, and that's a series of questions that we ask and we come up with a score to see how satisfied people are with life. Scored lower for subjective well-being and had lower levels of resilience. So just keep in mind, I'm going to talk a little bit later about what we did in response to these findings, but mental well-being was a huge, there was a massive difference between those Victorians who have a disability and those that don't. Okay, in terms of physical activity, so when compared to people without a disability, people with a disability were 40% less likely to be physically active, and the gap widens with age and gender, and are less likely to participate in both organised and non-organised physical activity. And again, this one, of our imperative areas that we focus on at VicHealth, this was quite a significant gap between those with a disability and disability. In terms of healthy eating, so men with a disability were 1/3 more likely to eat takeaway food regularly than men without, and people with a disability consume slightly less fruit and vegetables than those without a disability. And in terms of alcohol, those who reported having a disability actually drank less at risky levels, so were 25% less likely to be drinking at risky levels. But in terms of high risk levels, and so in alcohol we talk about short-term harms and long-term harms, and the short-term harms are the things like when you get drunk you fall over and hurt yourself, and if you have 5 or more drinks you put yourself at greater risk of hurting yourself because you've had too much drink in that single session. But we say that when people drink 11 or more drinks they are at a really high risk. So in a survey we asked people about 5 drinks and then 11 drinks, because we know 11 is really risky. But it was interesting, those that had reported having a disability, there was no difference between those with or without in terms of drinking at really high risk levels. I don't know what that means, that's what it shows. So essentially, it just shows, the report shows that there are inequities between those people who have a disability and those that don't in terms of health. So what next is the question. And in my work, because we do a lot of research and we do a lot of surveys, I feel that we're really good at describing issues, but when it comes to actually addressing them, we can probably do a little bit better. So at the end of this, once we did the extra analysis on for the disability supplement, it was like, well, okay, so we know this, what do we do with it now? And one thing I did fail to say at the start is that VicHealth, we're not experts in disability. So health equity is our remit, and we know that people with disabilities experience poorer health outcomes, and that's why we're interested in this space. But in terms of working directly with people with disability, that's not our area of expertise. So what we did, we went out and spoke to those organisations that actually have more expertise than us, those organisations that actually have the health and well-being of people with a disability at the core of their work. So this is just a list here of the people we went out and consulted with, because we wanted to have a response to the data, to what the data was showing. And when we went to consult with these organisations, we really focused mainly on mental wellbeing and physical activity, because that's what the data showed as being where there were the biggest gaps. So we went to these organisations and said, well, if we are going to improve the health outcomes of people with a disability in relation to mental wellbeing and physical activity, what should we do? So in all the consultation that we did, we met individually and in groups, we synthesised the information that we were getting, and we could break it into these four, but I actually think there's five dot points here. Now, the very first one that's not listed is we need to get better at collecting more data that can be interrogated more, so we can understand the different type of disabilities and how that's playing out in terms of health outcomes. And then the activities or the risk behaviours or the things that are impacting on people's health. So at the moment, this the one item question that we used in VicHealth Indicators is quite crude, because we can't differentiate between disability type and we can't really differentiate between the lifestyle factors that are potentially impacting their health. So even though it's good to include the question, but we've actually got to do better next time. So that one of the recommendations after talking to all the organisations we talked to was we need to get better, whether it be governments collecting data or whether it be researchers doing research, in having better questions to ask so we can have clearer, more nuanced data. Another one was, of course, changing attitudes around, community attitudes around disability. And so to do that, it was suggested that we need to change the way disability is represented in the media. And in fact, I've just come from a NAIDOC Week launch, and we have an Aboriginal person, Aboriginal Torres Strait person, Islander person on our board. And she was just saying, there's a need to always represent Aboriginal people in all our publications. And I feel it's the same for people with a disability. If we're going to be changing attitudes and social norms around the way people see disability, we've got to be representing that well in all our publications. So we've also got to create more opportunities to participate in community sporting and recreation activities by ensuring that the environments are welcoming. Now, we are doing a little bit of work in this space, and I'll talk about that soon. We also need to ensure that there's a ways to participate in decision-making, advisory and planning bodies. And we also need to make sure that there are peer support networks and self-advocacy groups for people with a disability that to improve their health outcomes. Sorry. Okay, so what is VicHealth doing? So we had the survey. We spoke to organisations with the expertise that was better than our own, and now we've got to go and make some actions. So I'm just going to talk very briefly about our FAIR Foundations framework, and it's set up like a tree. So it has the root system at the very bottom. So what are those things that affect our health the most? And they are those social and economic policies, those cultural drivers that influence what we do. So if we can get those big macro things right, then our health or our trees are more likely to flourish. Halfway up the trunk, we have daily living conditions. So this is like what happens to us every day, our work environment, our education environment, even just the design of the streets that we're in, that will impact our health. And that's halfway, that's about the trunk, because that's going to have a pretty significant impact on our health. And at the very top, where the leaves are, where we flourish, is our individual attitudes, behaviours. But what it's trying to show is if you've got to actually work on these foundational things to be able to even flourish at the top of the tree. So at VicHealth, our health equity approach includes those bottom, the root causes, so the social determinants of health. And that's actually really hard to do. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything new. But we also think we need to provide targeted programs. We need to provide opportunities for people to participate, which is more at the top of the tree. So in terms of what we've done for that more targeted approach, so in 2011 and 2015, we provided some money to sporting organisations to improve opportunities for people with a disability to participate in sport. But since then, we've supported several community and sporting clubs to actually increase opportunities as well. We've done a little bit beyond sport. So in our recent Bright Futures Challenge, which is a mental wellbeing program, we've provided funding for a program called Bandmates, and that's where people with a disability can go out and actually enjoy live music in live music venues. And pleasingly, but I can't announce today because it's going to be announced mid-July, we're funding three more programs out of our Innovation Challenge recently that are specifically focused to people with a disability. So I feel that we're doing okay. Everyone can always do better. We're doing okay in providing some opportunities for people with disabilities to participate, whether it be through arts or through sport. But what we need to get better at, and which I'll show on the next slide, is that social determinants of health. So where we want to do more work is in that the middle layer and the bottom layer of the Fair Foundations framework. So we know that we've got to provide better daily living conditions for people with a disability, and we've also got to change the social and cultural and economic policies that influence our daily lives every day to make a difference. Now, we know that we can't do those things on our own. So what we can do is probably what I showed in the last slide, is we can fund some programs to increase opportunities for people with a disability to participate in sport and arts. But where it gets a little bit harder is us influencing the daily living conditions and those social determinants of health. So over the course of the next 4 years, we're really trying to get interested. So we want to partner with more people. So we're going to start with our immediate partners, so our partners that we work with all the time in health promotion and public health, but we want to expand that to address those social determinants of health more broadly. So that's it in terms of the presentation, just providing the overview of what the data's showing, some of the programs that we're funding, and some of the things we would like to do. So I'm happy to take questions now. Yes, down the back.
Sorry, me again. I was one of the people that was that did the survey. Had a rather bored person on the other end of the phone. But one of the things that I found particularly frustrating as an LGBTIQ person is that you had to answer whether you identified as male or female to continue with the survey. And then it was only like halfway through that you could actually explore what your identities meant for you and answer in a non-binary sense around gender and actually explore LGBTIQ health outcomes and identities. And I'm just wondering about how some of these programs are addressing the fact that a lot of us have intersectional identities and aren't just a person with a disability or aren't just LGBTIQ, and how we're looking at additional levels of disadvantage or minority stress and how that might be impacting on health.
Yep.
And what we're doing at the intersections of those spaces.
Yep. So firstly, thank you for your question. And yeah, to be one of the 20,000 people interviewed, it's actually nice to hear someone was actually interviewed. But at the same time, I'm concerned that there was that issue at the start that you had to identify as one of the other.
I am told that that has been rectified. I sit on a governmental task force and we did a lot of work to make the options not be just binary options, and going forward they will no longer be. But it did mean that trans and gender diverse Victorians, there was very low levels of responding to the survey because people just dropped out.
Yep. So there's a mistake. Yes, and we will fix that next time. But in terms of your other question, again, really good question. And probably the best way for me to respond to that is just to acknowledge that, yes, we are very good at siloing or single issuing things where people are actually complex. And I don't mean complex in a bad way, but there's a lot that makes up a human. And we're not just low SES. We're not just someone with a disability. Mm. We're not just an age. And I think historically we are, the way we analyse our surveys is by demographics. And then we expand them a little bit more. And we know that that's actually a flaw. But I don't know if I've got a response to that. I think that we've moved, and anything there is a journey. So we are here, and we need to get to here. I think the fact that we're aware that we need to be more sophisticated in our understanding of human behaviour and actually asking people the things that are influencing their lives, their health and their well-being is a good start. But I have to admit, it's a complex road to get from here to here. And I don't think it'll be a short journey. And probably even the way we are structured as public health clinicians or health promotion practitioners is we generally focus on one area. So we have an area of expertise, whereas we need to be more generalist to understand the complexities of life. But I can say that we are slowly moving in that direction, and I hope we move there quicker, is my response.
I'll say one final thing, and then I definitely will hand the microphone over to other people. But I mean, from a disability rights perspective, I think understanding the social determinants of disability is a really important step.
Mm.
And that question for me being the only question that encompasses my experience as a person with a disability comes from a very medical model understanding of impairment.
Mm.
And understanding impairment as a deficit-based thing that is impacting my life. Where we need to understand it as a social issue of rights and discrimination. So I'd love to see a question that moved towards that, because I would give a very different answer.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting. And I know in our supplements, so I've only just presented the high-level findings from the VicHealth Indicators survey, but we have actually published a supplement, but it talks about the difference between the physical model and the social model. And I don't know if it says we need to move to one or to the other, but it just acknowledges, that there are social influences, that we need to acknowledge. Yeah. There's another question just down here.
Thanks so much. Just with regard to the determinants, I remember working in public health maybe 20 years ago, and so we also had a focus on environmental determinants or ecological determinants. And, you know, in terms of intersections, one of the great intersections is place, is landscape, is climate, and, you know, how ecosystems are performing has a huge impact on the health of human beings. Mm. So first of all, is there a reason why that's not in your foundations?
Look, I'd say it is. It's just not called out as much as it needs to be. I'd say it's in the smaller font, it's the smaller text as opposed to the larger text. But it's certainly acknowledged that, and probably where it does come out, and I hope that I'm interpreting your question properly, because I think you're talking about the built environment, so where we live, no?
In part, like it's multifaceted, but it's also climate as well, so that's part of it. Like how is VicHealth preparing some of the most vulnerable people for climate as well as the social issues? The social issues have been around for a long time. We know what they are, but we're living in the 21st century and we need to engage these things that we began talking about in the 70s. Mm. You know, we need to be really engaging them now.
Yep. Yeah. So
it needs to be lifted, I think, outside the small font into the large.
No, I agree. So I think the daily living conditions, our built environment in which we live, is that middle layer, so the daily living conditions. But absolutely, environment matters. And we're, again, early on in our journey to incorporating it in here. But we acknowledge that environmental change, so climate change, is going to have the greatest impact on the most vulnerable populations. So we say that without any hesitation, and that concerns us a lot. So it definitely needs to be in there. There are some groups, so Sustainability Victoria and VCOS, are doing some fantastic work in terms of trying to advocate on climate change purely because of the impacts on vulnerable populations, and we need to get there too. We recently, there was a big health promotion public health world conference in New Zealand, and one of the communiques out of that was, we need to start thinking about what we're doing about climate change. So absolutely, it's just not there yet, and it needs to be.
So my second question is a conceptualisation question, and it's similar to what was the previous speaker. In a sense, people with a lived experience of mental illness have always had a kind of a a discussion, at least, if not a debate, about whether it's an illness or not. Mm. And so the first question is, does Vic Health define, you know, you talk about mental well-being, but do you also use a biomedical model when you're defining mental illness?
Yes, so we don't talk about mental illness. We talk about mental well-being, so we don't use a medical model at all. So we say that we are in a space of talking about well-being, not illness.
And then the second thing that's kind of come into vogue with the NDIS is, you know, if you call something mental illness, for example, as a social construct, you know, then do you call it a disability or not? So is that a disability? And I just noticed on your disability list of organisations, there were none associated with mental health or mental illness.
Yes, good question, and I'm not sure how to respond to that either. I can make a comment though. So I was at the consultation for the next Victorian Public Health and Wellbeing Plan, and yeah, they had listed on their risk factors as mental illness. So someone says mental illness is not a risk factor. It's not someone's choice to, yeah, because everything else up there was something that someone would choose to do. So I think we've got to get our terminology right. And I don't think I can respond properly yet to that. I think I need to give that more thought.
Yeah, hello. I just relating to what Daryl was saying. I think coming from a mental health organisation perspective from Vimiac, that you would have actually captured a lot of people with mental illness in that broad question about disability. And has your intervention, like you said, if you're looking at mental wellbeing, but has it actually addressed taking people with mental illness to concerts or getting them involved with exercise and sport? Because that's a huge area where people with psychosocial disability are missing out and need support to do those things. Is that something that's on your radar?
Well, we would certainly say people with a psychosocial disability are someone we would like to support. Bandmates, I'm not sure. I don't know who is actually participating in that, so I couldn't answer. Don't know if I've answered your question properly.
Kind of, I'll pass it on.
Yeah.
Just adding to that, the expected life, the life expectancy of people with mental illness is very much shorter than the broader population. So I definitely think that it should be a part of the disability sphere.
I wish I could provide better responses. It's just not my area of expertise. I think it is a really, it's a difficult space, and we would include anyone. Disability or not, really, we would hope that we're reaching everyone. We just do targeted programs to hopefully to reach those that that don't necessarily get reached by our broader pieces of work that have more of a general population focus. And the beauty of coming to events like today and getting questions is it makes us think. Now, absolutely, psychosocial disability, and I don't want to call it a disability, is something we need to be thinking about and making sure that we're filling that space. So we're absolutely aware, and I've worked for a long time in tobacco control many years ago, you know, about the impact of smoking on the life expectancy of people with a mental illness and how we needed to do more. And in fact, for a long time, we just said it was good for people, which is absolutely horrendous. So we're, you know, at least we're changing from there, but I don't think I'm giving great questions, but I what I want to say is I'm hearing you and it will inform what we do in the future. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maya. Just a fun fact, you know how you were talking about the supporting grants and support you give? One of the supports Vic Health gives us is Burma Deaf Women's Cricket Team. Ah. And one fun fact about that is it's enabled us to capture young deaf girls, and it's been absolutely life-changing for them to have access to older deaf women and mentors and their sports and their lives. So Vic Health is really doing some really great stuff in the sporting space. So thank you for that. And like you said, it's just the beginning, and hopefully we can all go along on this journey with you. And got some really good data out of it. So thank you very much.
Thank you.